This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Well, it's so wonderful to have Dr. Ron Paul as our guest this morning. Dr. Paul is, of course, the 10-term congressman from Texas, the head of the Campaign for Liberty, the author of The Revolution, a Manifesto, and other books, many, many important articles, Pillars of Prosperity, in which we have all his speeches and his writings available at the Mises Institute, where he predicted exactly what's been happening in these recent weeks. Dr. Paul, Alan Greenspan was on TV up on the Hill yesterday, excusing himself. He, of course, had nothing to do with anything that happened. It was all somebody else. Any reaction to that?
Well, the first reaction is he's a little bit late on trying to explain himself. I mean, he'd been wrong for so long. Of course, we all know that he was right a good many years ago. Then he deserted his original beliefs when he was so critical of the Federal Reserve System and saw inflation as confiscation of wealth, endorsement of big government, and strongly critical of the Federal Reserve. And then all of a sudden, he became in the establishment, became the worst inflator of all, if at least competing for the worst. But now all of a sudden, he's trying to explain himself. But as I've told others, I think he's trying to, you know, salvage a reputation. But the only way I think somebody like that could salvage a reputation is to apologize and go back to what he knows is right. And but I don't think that is likely to happen. But the one thing that he did yesterday that annoyed me the most was he's joined the gang of liberals and the socialists to blame the free market for all the problems. He says, well, I didn't do anything wrong except I missed the boat because what we needed was to have more regulations. And if we only regulated this horrible system and all the things that prompted this malinvestment and distorted economy and excessive debt, if we just had regulations, we could have saved it. Therefore, markets don't work. That, to me, was the most important thing he said, and obviously wrong, and something that we who believe in the free market, we have to refute this, or we lose the fight. We lost it in the 30s, and now we're up against the same argument again that it's capitalism and free markets that cause our problems, and that, of course, is what they blame the Depression on rather than on the Federal Reserve even back in the 20s. So hopefully we keep the fight going because it's an intellectual fight, and it's a tough one right now because we're up against great odds.
Ron, if Bernanke and Paulson and Bush came to their senses, as much of a science fiction idea as that might be, and they called you up and they said, Ron Paul, what should we do? What would you tell them? Besides get out of town or go to jail.
A lot less, a lot sooner, as paraphrasing Mises, I think. No, it is tough, but people say, no, we don't want to hear how it's caused. I remember one time I was on a show with Bill O'Reilly, and I think it was on foreign policy, and I wanted to talk about the history of the Middle East and why we're in a mess. You know, I don't want to hear anything about history.
So, that's right.
Now when we talk about economic policy, sometimes they'll interrupt and they say, no, we don't want to talk about the problems, how the problems came about. What we want to talk about is what you do. But it may be my medical background is what I do in medicine depends on what the problem is, what caused the problem, and what the disease is, and in order to figure out which is the proper antibiotic or the proper treatment. So you have to find out the study and understand and agree on what caused the problem. But nevertheless, the best way I can answer the question, what do we do now, without describing all the flaws in the system that we've dealt with for so many decades, I would say that we should emphasize the right thing, and that is that we should have free markets. The government does have a responsibility. They should enforce contracts. They shouldn't let people get away with fraud. Government has a responsibility for having sound money, so they should start regulating the Federal Reserve and the Exchange Stabilization Fund and these institutions that add so much harm to our problem. We should regulate them. But the most important thing in order to get back to work again is to get rid of all the bad stuff, you know, the bad debt and the misdirected investments. And we're getting there, but much slower than it would have happened. I think maybe if they'd have made the correction, if they wouldn't have propped up any of the threats to the bubble in the last 15 or 20 years from 87 on, every time there was a threat, we covered it over by more inflation. So what we need to do is get out of the way and liquidate the debt, and let people then go back to work. The government could do other things. They could lower taxes. They could reduce the amount of regulation. We could have an environment where businesses might want to start here in this country. After Enron failed, they said there weren't enough regulations. Same old story. So they passed Sarbanes-Oxley. What happened after that? Many corporations went overseas because it's easier to be dealing with the regulators overseas. It's easier to start a business in China than it is in America. A businessman told me once that he's over in China because it takes him 3 weeks to do the paperwork. In America, it takes 3 years and millions of dollars to fill out all the reports and get all the bureaucrats to agree what he wants to do. So there are some things that we can do, but the most important thing is allow the market to correct and get rid of the bad debt so people and let people recognize that it's not just consumption on borrowed money that stimulates the economy. What we need are people working hard, living frugally. We live beyond our means. We have to live beneath our means and start saving some money. And the market will take care of it. Just take away the confidence that the politicians in Washington know how to plan and know how to save us. They got us in this trouble, so central economic planning should be proven to be wrong, and that is the thing that we have to accept.
Ron, you're so right, and we hear all the hysteria about the credit crunch. And isn't it actually a market correction after the excesses of the boom caused by the Federal Reserve that there should be less borrowing and less lending? There should be less. Interest rates, for example, should be much higher. They shouldn't be holding interest rates down. And this is one of the paths to frugality, more saving, less borrowing.
That's right. And I brought this up, I remember years ago, with Greenspan, about him artificially keeping interest rates down and doing all these things. And I pointed out that it's, you know, not only distorts the market and it's harmful economically, it's morally wrong. Because if you keep interest rates artificially low, and somebody who does live within their means and they happen to be retired and they have money in the bank and they have a CD, and the market says that you should get 8%, and instead they get 2%, and I tried to make him answer that, and he did answer it, and it was like, well, that's something you have to accept. He didn't argue that it wasn't true. It's just that that was less important than doing what he thought was best to stimulate the economy. And I think that a lot of times we as libertarians and constitutionalists fail to bring in the moral aspect of money and what the government does to us. So to me, it's a moral issue as well as anything, because when you destroy the value of money, you are hurting people. And this to me was a moral argument. Why should they lower interest rates artificially and punish the people who are doing the right thing? But so we have to change that. Another thing to encourage savings would to make sure that you never tax people on their savings, and that means both either direct taxes on income as well as the inflation tax. Because now, when you save, if you only earn 3% and inflation is 4 or 5%, you know, why should you save? You might as well go and do something else that is less productive.
Ron, you talked earlier about the importance of knowing the sources of the disease, what actually has caused the problem, and you've been a moral and a prophetic voice for so many years about exactly what's wrong with the American monetary system. This is a big question to ask, but can you give us at least a brief overview of, you know, what is wrong with the American monetary system?
Well, first, it's unconstitutional. You know, there's the founders understood more about money than a lot of us give them recognition for, at least the average American or what's taught in our schools. They had gone through the runaway inflation of the continental dollar. They didn't want it to happen again. They didn't want even the states to print their own money. So they wanted to limit the supply of money by saying Congress could not emit bills of credit, which was paper money, that Congress's responsibility was to maintain a sound currency, gold and silver, to be the only legal tender. And they did not give authorization to a central bank. So everything that we are dealing with now, especially since 1913, is unconstitutional. But that's the continuation of the argument between Jefferson and Hamilton. Hamilton, even back then, they started a national bank. They wanted the central bank. And, of course, courts have always ruled against hard money, whether it was early on or whether it was in the Civil War after Roosevelt stole the gold from the people. Courts have always supported the big money people and big government people. So constitutionally it's wrong. But I mentioned the morality of it. Morality, you know, this whole idea that we legalize counterfeiting is just terrible. If we only could think of the Federal Reserve people as counterfeiters, maybe we could get more attention. And I know you know this, but we can recall that in the Coinage Act of 1792, they mandated the death penalty for counterfeiting money. And I kept thinking, boy, if they enforced that today, I mean, we'd have a lot of a job to do to round up the counterfeiter. But it is. It's stealing value from people. It is like counterfeit. But then again, we do talk a whole lot about the economics and the malinvestment and the business cycle, and that's the great contribution of Mises and Hayek to get us, as well as Murray, to understand how the business cycle works and why people suffered. So this to me is an invitation for us to come across as those who care about our fellow man. Too often we're accused of lacking compassion, because if we tend to be too flippant and they say, well, what do you think we ought to do? Nothing. We need to do nothing. We need to just get out of the way. They don't think we have compassion. But if anybody has compassion for their fellow man or for their own self-esteem and their own families, they have to be concerned about these economic issues, because that's how the maximum number of people can be taken care of.
Ron, over the years, you've warned about a crisis like this and about the possibility of such things as another bank holiday of the sort that Franklin Roosevelt declared. It seems to me that people in power, not only in the U.S., but in the whole Western world, the finance ministers, the presidents, the central bankers, all seem to be unbelievably arrogant, unbelievably panicked, unbelievably incompetent. What do you think they might do to us?
Well, I think they're working already on a central bank for the whole world. It'll be fiat money. I don't think they have to have the holidays like they had in the past, but what they've replaced it with is just unlimited credit pumped into the system, this $5 trillion that they've already pumped in, and guaranteeing everything for everybody. That's why, you know, I believe that eventually it's going to be very, very destructive to the dollar, even though in a relative sense the dollar is strong compared to the other paper currencies. But right now, I believe what's going on is they know, those who run the show, the financiers, Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, Secretary of Treasury, and all the central bankers of the world who get together and do it in complete privacy, they know that the Bretton Woods II, or whatever the system you want to call it, since August of 1971, is in the end stages, and that the dollar system is really at the end stages. So in these recent meetings that they had at the IMF and the Group of Seven and others, I think what they've agreed to is, let's do what we can to prop up the dollar. In the meantime, we'll do whatever, and you guys just pump out the money. But the agreement is that we need a new system, because it is deeply flawed, and now they are working feverishly at this very moment. This is only, I have no proof of this. This is just my assumption, that I believe they're working feverishly to come up with a brand new system. And I think it's the second stage, what George Bush Sr. talked about, you know, when he was going into the first Persian Gulf War, where he talked about, he brought it out in the open, what we need is a new world order. And I think that's exactly what they're working on, is the continuation of a new world order. And now anytime there's a crisis, it gives them an opportunity to do this. And this financial crisis gives them the opportunity to promote this worldwide control of governments as well as finances, by just scaring people to death and saying, no, what you need is more government. Freedom fails. The Alan Greenspans of the world are saying, freedom fails. Capitalism doesn't work. But, you know, in spite of all that, I'm still optimistic that they can't do it. I still think there's going to be a spirit of nationalism and a spirit of freedom that will rise up. It's just that too many people are led by the propaganda machine that's put out by the government. But information is spreading differently now, so I'm hopeful that our message will be heard. And in some ways, we have been getting more attention these last 2 years than we've had in a long time.
Well, Ron, I'm not a big fan of politics or of the political system, but I'll bet you there are a whole lot of Republicans who are realizing today and in these weeks what a horrific and stupid mistake they made not to nominate you, and what a different country this would be, and what a different Western world this would be if you were coming into office as president. But perhaps even more important is, again, your moral and your prophetic voice, your teaching voice that keeps speaking the truth. I think people are listening. Even some of the media are listening, and they need to listen to you. And in your words, show the path forward for a freer America and a more prosperous America. So thanks so much for coming on today.
Well, thank you very much. Real nice to be with you.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.